You're on, okay. All right. Hi. Greetings. I have a couple of comments I'd like to make before I really get into what I get to. Hopefully I will get to that tonight, but I don't really know. The meeting was kind of interesting this morning. Tonight. Barb says hello. She's babysitting a 7-month-old, a 4-year-old, and a 7-year-old today. I think I got the better deal. Anyways. But I also want to thank the Lord because I almost hit a deer getting here tonight. Yeah, it's amazing. The car didn't even bother him. Like, didn't even know it was there. And I'm also thankful I don't have to go home and run and find a baseball game tonight because my team won last night. But I was really mad. I got yelled at the TV set a couple times in the 8th inning. I wasn't really happy, but we won. Anyways.
But it must have worked.
My wife said you'd make a better manager than he would, but I won't go there. But anyways, I'm thankful I don't have to go home and run home tonight. I ask Gal, can I just take a couple minutes and just comment a little bit about what happened for the last hour? I thought it was really interesting. And normally I don't do this, but, sometimes being a pastor and running a church, you see things. And I do this oftentimes when we have church on Thursday night, and my wife puts the music together. I don't want to hear it until we actually go into service because I really want to hear what the Lord says in the context of the meeting. So I don't really want to hear anything, whichever she's planned for that night. And I thought it was really interesting tonight, Katie, about what you said, about the whole oil. And Jen, I really was very impressed with that whole testimony about the, you can visually see the jar. I wanted to just comment a little bit about what the Lord's done with me. Since I was going to start with this anyways, when I was here 4 weeks ago, or however many weeks ago it was, Lisa called me on Saturday. I said, I'm going to preach anyways. Devil's not going to get the better of me. Well, the next morning at 8 o'clock, I was in urgent care, and I was sick for 4 weeks with all kinds of stuff going on, with fevers and all kinds of antibiotics. But in the process, God started to speak to me about some things. And the Lord showed me one of the reasons why I got sick. And in the process of doing this and sharing and talking to people about what was happening in my life that may have caused me to get sick, I came to a point where I started having a prayer, and it was, fix me. Because I can't fix anybody else. So the Lord started talking to me about and praying. I had to pray, God, fix me, because I can't fix anybody else. And God started taking me on a journey. Now, one of the things, and I really can't get very specific here, but I'll just say this, that the Lord's been taking me on this journey about learning about unconditional love. We can talk about unconditional love. But until you come into a point where you really need unconditional love, and you need to be in a point where no matter whatever happens, no matter what anybody says to you, you're not offended. That's the journey I'm on right now. And it's a great place to be, but it's a hard place to be. Because God's making it so that I practice unconditional love. And that doesn't happen when everything's going well. And I don't mean things are bad, but God's putting me in situations where I'm going to have to practice this. So I'm saying it because of the whole idea of the cracked pot, and I'm saying, God, fix me. And if the oil isn't really flowing in, one of the things that God said to me earlier this week was, I'm taking you through the narrows. I said, thanks, Lord. I really like that word. But it's true, and maybe the Lord's trying to take you through the narrow so that the oil will actually fit into the pot that you got, the other thing that I was thinking about here was, I started off and part of what this whole thing is that I'm walking through before I actually get into what I want to share tonight, I felt like I should share this at the beginning of my message, and this is a freebie. This has nothing to do with what I want to share tonight. But I feel like the Lord has said this. I'm going to read it just the way I wrote it. I want to encourage you to pray and ask God to give you an assignment. Maybe something you have wanted to do but never got around to it, or something new and different. We're cocooned by the familiar and even fearful of leaving the familiar because of our security in the familiar. We need to cut the umbilical cord of the familiar, and I believe the times demand that. Now, this will give you growth, great growth, because the Lord's been challenging me with this myself. Age is not a factor. Whether this is for someone or some two of you or all of us, I want you to receive this and act on it. And I just feel like, because in my life right now, God is really challenging me to take out something new and something different. And I'm going to be 69 in a couple of months, you know, so age doesn't really make a difference. You know, God's got something new for me to do. And so I started journaling a little bit what's going on. But I share that with you because I really believe as I was preparing tonight, God wanted me to share that with some of you or all of you. And if it's for you, take it. You know, I'm just encouraging you to go out and listen to the Lord and pick up a new assignment if that's what you hear him saying to you. Okay, you can open your Bibles to Psalm 112. I'm going to start there tonight. And Katie, I just want to encourage you, keep hearing the Lord. And say it with, as you grow, you're going to say it with more authority. Amen. You're going to, it's not, you will. I'll say it, I'll leave it at that. That's enough. Okay. My topic is, what I feel like I'm supposed to share tonight is not something new. This is not a whole brand new revelation. It's reshoring up an old principle. Last year, and towards when I started feeling like the Lord was calling me to do some changes, I took some time and just started really seeking the Lord. And one of the things the Lord said to me, which will actually go along with what you said tonight, Jen, earlier, was he said, fix the cracks in the foundation. And so what I want to share tonight is hopefully maybe for some or all of us, helping to fix a crack in the foundation. And the scripture I'm starting with tonight is not necessarily a scripture that anyone would think of goes along with the topic tonight. But when I was reading it this week, it was like, yeah, this actually kind of fits in. So we're going to read Psalm 112, and then I'll come back to it at the end of the message, because then I think by that point you'll see where it fits in. But anyways, let's see what it says. Oh, okay. Oh, I love the ease. Praise Jehovah. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. Do I keep going? Okay. His seed shall be mighty in the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and merciful and righteous. Well is it with the man that deals graciously and lendeth. He shall maintain his cause in judgment, for he shall never be moved. The righteous shall be in an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his adversaries. Oh, he shall disperse. He shall give to the needy. His righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Is that the end? One more. All right. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. That's the end. All right. Great. All right. So I'm going to leave that sit with you for a while. And we're going to start by talking about, and what I feel like I'm supposed to talk about tonight is the law of sowing and reaping. Okay? I feel like that's what I'm supposed to be doing tonight, is talking about sowing and reaping. And so I started by looking up in the Old Testament about sowing and reaping. And the term sowing means to sow, means to scatter seed, and means to make pregnant. Make pregnant. Okay? And so the purpose of sowing is usually to reap a harvest. Hence, farmer sows seed. Why? Because he wants a harvest. So the purpose then in sowing, or the idea of sowing, speaks of reproduction in growth. So when we talk about sowing, we're talking about reproduction and growth. And you may not have actually thought about it in that terms, but I don't think it's a stretch to put it in those terms. That when I talk tonight, we're going to be talking about reproduction and growth. Now, when you talk about sowing and reaping, you have to understand that there's two things. You can sow good, or you can sow evil. You can have whatever you want, all right? I heard somebody say that. You can. Bill Sedgwick was in last week and said a Christian can have whatever he wants, you know? So let's take a look at good, okay? First scripture we want to look at, because I've got my little list here. I just want to make sure I keep up with him up on the overhead. That's all. All right. Is Proverbs 11, right? All right. If you would, sir. Proverbs chapter 11. The wicked earns deceitful wages, but he that sows righteousness has a sure reward. I like that. You can go home right there and look at it and say, oh, I like that. You can think about that going to bed tonight. That's good. So that's a positive. The other one, and there's lots of these, but the other one I want to pick up is Hosea 10:12, which says, sow for yourself righteousness, reap according to the kindness, break up the fallow ground of your heart, for it is time to seek the Jehovah, that he will come and rain righteousness on you. But it's the first part that I really want to talk about, which is sow for yourself righteousness. And in some translations it says, and reap mercy. Most translations will say reap mercy, okay? So I thought, well, that's pretty good, you know? And so I looked up some of these words. And so the word sure here, the sure is truth and faithfulness. And you heard Sherry talk earlier tonight about truth, right? And that's God's characteristic. That's God's keeping his covenant. The word reward is a wage or a reward. So figuratively, it means, if I can put it together, a wage of truth. Okay? Now, if I were to take those two verses together and put them together in the Rob Damatis translation of the Bible, in the Amplified Version, it would read something like this. When you sow blameless conduct, integrity, justice, and right attitudes, what comes back to you is God's faithfulness to his word in the form of a crop of a harvest full of mercy, loving kindness, and love. Amen. That's kind of an expanded version of those two verses. Now, I think we all want to sign up for that. I would. I mean, that's a great deal, you know? However, there's a flip side to this. Let's take a look at Job chapter 4, verse 8. That's our next little verse. Accordingly, as I have seen, they that plow or sow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Okay? Sow trouble, get trouble. Proverbs 22:8. He's ahead of me a little bit. He that sows iniquity shall reap calamity. Ooh, that's a joyful one. And the rod of his wrath shall fail. Okay? Yep. One of the other translations I have is, he that sows iniquity will reap sorrow. And the last one is Isaiah chapter 17. Okay, it says, for you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your strength. Therefore, you'll plant pleasant plants and set us in with strange slopes. Keep going. Verse 11. All right. Well, I can keep reading it from up here then. Don't worry about it. It says, basically, because you have forgotten the Lord of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold, therefore you will plant pleasant plants and stretch out or plant imported or expensive seeds. You go and you spend all this money, get all this good stuff, and you plant it. And in that day you will make plants to grow, and in the morning you will make your seed to flourish. But the harvest, listen to this, but the harvest will be a heap of ruins. You will only harvest grief and unrelieved pain or desperate sorrow. That's a wonderful verse. But so it says. It says you forget God and you forget and you don't sow the right stuff. He says you're going to, looks like it's going to have a good harvest and you're going to go to grab it and it's going to be junk. That's what it says. So that's the bad part of this. So that's, you know, that's a, I would read that and say, that's a pretty awful picture. Galatians 6:7, if we could. This is probably, if there's a verse in the Bible, this is probably the keynote verse of all that, which says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Right? Probably if there was one verse about sowing and reaping, this would probably be the verse everyone would quote. But there's also a verse in the Old Testament, which is kind of an Old Testament version of this. It's just, you know, it doesn't quite talk about sowing and reaping, but it's really good. And I thought we would throw that in as the Old Testament version. Proverbs 1, chapter, or verse 31 says, therefore you shall eat the fruit of your own way and be filled with your own devices. It's pretty much the same thing. It doesn't have sowing and reaping, but basically it means the same thing. So you saw that in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, the whole idea of sowing and reaping has been there. Now, one of the things that I want to do tonight is to take the law of sowing and reaping, and I want to break it down into some principles about sowing and reaping. What do we know about sowing and reaping? You know, so we're going to, I have a number of principles that I want to deal with here. So we'll start with principle number one. The first principle is the principle of perpetuity. Okay? Which means basically this law has been in existence since the beginning of time. It's just like gravity. You know? It takes an act of God to really overcome this law. Just like it takes an act of God to overcome gravity. You know? So I just want you to know this is a law that has been in existence forever. Just like when Jesus fed the 5,000, you know, he certainly created his own little law there for a minute. You know, he broke all the laws of nature and took a couple of fish and took a couple loaves and broke them and multiplied them. You know, it's not normal, but he can do that. So he can break the laws, his own laws, if he wants to, for his own purposes. Second principle, there's the principle of posterity. That is, we reap in kind what we sow, in the natural as well as in the spiritual, you know? So if you want to plant corn, you're going to get corn. If you plant casual prayer, you will get casual results. You'll plant and you'll reap whatever you want in the same thing, in exactly the same way. The third principle is the principle of proliferation. Now, take a farmer, takes a little bag of seed, throws it on the ground, and plants it. And what does he get? Gets a whole big bushel of stuff, right? Bushels of stuff. So you reap more than you sow. We don't oftentimes think of that, especially when there come to consequences. But we will reap more than we sow. Somebody once says, you can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed. Right? So, when we talk about sowing and reaping, we have to understand the fact that we are sowing and getting back more good or bad than we've ever sowed. Principle number four is the principle of postponement. When a farmer sows, he sows his crop in the spring, gets his harvest later on. When you sow in the spirit, you'll reap later on. You don't reap usually in the season that you sow. That's just one of the principles that go along with this thing. It's the principle of postponement. There's the principle of passing is the next one. And see, is that on my little list here? Yeah, it is. John chapter 12. If you would, please. It says, verily I say unto you, except the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Want to have the next verse there too? Rich? Verse 25? That's there, okay. He that loves his own life will lose it, but he that hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Okay, so in essence, in order for there to be a harvest, there has to be a death. There has to be a passing. The seed has to die. It can't stay a seed. It's got to do what it's supposed to do. And in our life, if we're going to sow, there's got to be a dying in our lives. Part of that is just surrendering. That's the dying part that goes. But there's where the reaping comes in as we move along. So part of the principle of sowing and reaping is that there is this dying. You know? And the thing about it is, that verse we talked about, you know, and he who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So the bottom line here is that we have to understand that we're dying to the world and everything that's in it. I do a lot of reading, and one of the things that the Lord has had me do is I don't know if you've ever seen Dietrich Bonhoeffer's biography. I think it's like this thick, 500 and some odd pages. And, you know, I'm not usually one to tackle a book like that, but I really felt the Lord just, go read the book. So I started reading the book, and it's very interesting. I'm about a fifth of the way through the book, and it's just it's a slow read for me anyways. Small words on the page and, you know, lots of stuff to think about. But it's very interesting because I just finished a chapter where he's back about 1930. He came to America and spent a year here. And he characterized the American church as just being anything but Christian. He talks about them, you know, with the social gospel, but nobody ever talks about Christ or the gospel or what real Christianity is all about. And it was just very interesting. And that was, what, 80 years ago? Things really haven't changed a whole lot, you know? So I just thought it was interesting. So there has to be this dying to the world. Number 6, Psalm 125, please. Okay. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. There has to be a principle of weeping. Now, why are you saying, well, what does weeping have to do with sowing and harvesting? Okay? This particular psalm was written as a psalm when the exiles came back after being in exile. Okay? So, they come back into the land where they were originally from, back into Israel. And, of course, they have tears of joy because they're home. They've come home. But, and I'm going to read into this because you don't really read this in the scripture, but I also think that there were tears because of the condition of the land. For 70 years, the land had been not touched. So it was overrun with weeds. It was barren. It was probably, they were sitting there saying, oh my Lord, look at the work we got to get this place going, you know? But God was there. So this the weeping could be both of those. You know, there's also, well, let's take a look at Nehemiah chapter 1 for a minute. I'll go on to the next thing in a second. And Nehemiah, when he heard about this, he said, and they said to me, the remnant has left captivity, and there in the province are great affliction, and also broken down with the walls and the gates. Next verse. And it came to pass when I heard this, I sat down and wept. Do we weep for the lost? Do we weep for the condition of this country? When Nehemiah heard, he wept. It was part of his sowing into getting the wall rebuilt. God bless you. The scripture says, he that sows in tears will reap in joy. I also believe part of this particular verse, that it, Psalm 126 verse, there is a sowing of our tears as seeds in our own life that will cause a harvest. And sometimes the harvest can only come through our tears. Because God is able to bring good out of trouble or evil or whatever you want to say. You know, in John 11, It says Jesus wept when he got to the tomb of Lazarus. In Luke chapter 19, it says that Jesus wept over the spiritual condition of Israel. I just throwing this out. I'm not trying to make it heavy, but it's just part of what this is about. Part of the whole idea of sowing and reaping is that there is an element of weeping sometimes that goes along with this. And sometimes we don't think of it that way, but that's what the scripture says. And I just want to try to present as much of this as I can to you tonight in the way I think the Lord wants me to do that. The next principle, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, is the principle of proportionality. But I say to you, he that sows sparingly reaps sparingly, and he that sows bountifully reaps bountifully. That almost speaks for itself. I don't really need to say much about that. You know, you received a word tonight about praying, Patricia, right? The more you pray, the more you'll reap. There's a reaping. And I also want to say, I think also with this verse, it isn't just how much you sow, but it's the way you sow. Where's your heart attitude when you sow? Are you giving grudgingly? I'm not just talking about money. You know, whatever it is. Are you giving grudgingly? Or are you doing it because God says do it? How are you giving? Because that indicates part of the sowing, the sparing and bountiful stuff up there. Okay, that's not up there. John chapter 15 is not up there. I didn't give him this. That's fine. We don't want to go there. But I'll just say this much. It's the principle of abiding. Part of the sowing is the principle of abiding. You know, if you want to bear much fruit, Jesus said in John 15, what you need to do is abide in me. So part of our sowing and reaping is part of it is abiding. Now, I had something that I wanted to just go back to. I had been caught up all week in 1 Peter. I've just been reading 1 Peter over and over and over and over again, just trying to get more of a handle on it. And I kind of centered in on verse 11. And I think I asked you to put that up, right, Rich? 1 Peter 2:11. And I'm simply going to say my take. May not be yours, but when I read 1 Peter, I came out with the fact that for me, this is the key verse of the whole book. Some people may say it different. There's the other verses about it. But I found this to be the key to the whole book that unlocked the book for me, was this one, that we're sojourners and pilgrims here, abstaining from fleshly desires which war against the soul. But the thing is that when we are looking to abide, we have to understand part of our abiding is that we are sojourners and we're pilgrims. And that's important to understand too. My mindset is that I am just a foreigner here in this place. And that's part of this journey I was talking about earlier when God's got me on this journey with Fix Me and taking me on this thing of unconditional love. Part of this verse, or part of this whole thought, is just pouring into me, trying to God's kind of shake some things and fix the foundation of my life. So I just want to just say that. That's important. Now, those are some of the principles that I found with sowing and reaping. Let me talk to you for a minute about applications. Okay? Next verse I want to look at is Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. It says, judge not and you will not be judged, condemn and you will not be condemned, release and you will be released. In verse 38 says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken over, running together, they will give into your bosom. Now this is the key. For what measure you give is the measure you get. So the application here is the measure you give, whatever it is, time, money, whatever it is, the measure you give is the measure you get. The second application. Still in the first one. Matthew chapter 6, please. Right? Matthew 6:12. There it is. Then the Our Father, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Right? We all know that verse. Let's go down a little bit now to verses 14 and 15 in the same chapter. And if you forgive none their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Holy Father forgive you. You don't forgive, you don't get forgiven. And that's all part of sowing and reaping. You sow forgiveness, you will reap forgiveness. And frankly, this is one of these scriptures where I get nervous. It's a scary scripture to me. Because if I have any unforgiveness at all in my heart, God says, you're not forgiven. There needs to be there is in my life a real push to make sure that there is no unforgiveness in my heart because of what that says up there. The measure I give is the measure I get. In Matthew 18, there's the parable of the servant that the master forgave him and then he went out and put the guy that owed half a little bit of money and put him in jail. And the master said this, but go ahead. Would you go up 18:35, Rich? Matthew 18:35. So shall be my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not his brother from his heart. I don't mean to just, but it's there. It's important that we understand that. The whole point of that particular parable is this verse right here. Your heavenly Father will do unto you as you've done to your friends and to those that need to be forgiven. If you sow forgiveness, you reap forgiveness. If you sow unforgiveness, you won't be forgiven. In James chapter 2, in the New Living Translation, verse 13, it says this. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others, but if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Now, I'm all done with having scriptures up there, but what I wanted to do was I wanted to have you take a look at a scripture with me. In 2 Samuel chapter 2. That's the right one. Nope. It's not the right scripture. All right, that's not the right. I'm sorry, it's not the right scripture, but I'm not sure where it is now. I thought I had found it there, but the point is that God deals with us according to our righteousness. It's someplace in Samuel. I don't know where it is. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I want to finish up by looking at Hosea chapter 10, if you will, and then I'll come back to Psalm 112. I mentioned earlier tonight about Hosea chapter 10 earlier when he put it up on there, but I want to read a lot more of that particular verse. I want to read 13 and 14. We started in 12 by saying, sow for yourself righteousness and reap mercy. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies,
because you trusted in your own way in the multitude of your mighty men. Therefore, tumult shall rise among you, and your fortresses shall be plundered. It's all part of that whole idea of sowing and reaping, and I would encourage you to take some time this week and read that over. But I want to go back to Psalm 112. Because, as I said to you earlier, most people will read Psalm 112 and not see it as a psalm of sowing and reaping, but it is. Let me go back and read it with you, okay? Psalm 112. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. That's the sowing. That's the part where you are sowing into your spiritual life. Okay? It says in here, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Okay? Now, what do you reap? His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his home, and his righteousness will endure forever. Unto the upright will arise light in the darkness. There's a promise of light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and is righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. He will not be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established and will not be afraid. That's all fruit. That's all fruit. That's all reaping by blessed is the man who fears the Lord and greatly delights in his commandments. That is sowing. Yes, ma'am. Please.
So this year, when I've been reading the Psalms.
Go for it.
This year I was reading through the Psalm, and actually I was reading that on the anniversary of the day that Ron died. And so it was kind of coincidental, but not. And it just describes Ron. You know?
Yeah.
And anyway, it was just important for me to say that because I have that written down because it was significant to me that it described him.
Amen.
Verse 1 was reaping, who greatly delights in his commandments. It is sowing. Greatly delighting in his commandments is sowing. In this year, Psalm 119, verses 47 and 48 are key. I delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and meditate on your statutes. If we want to reap verses 2 through 7, we have to love his commandments.
What are those two verses again? 119?
47 and 48.
48. I'm all done. Yeah. You can close if you'd like.
Thank you, Rob. When you sow, and you sow in tears, it's not because of something that wronged you. It's because Father's heart has so touched you that you see something that's not in line with his heart. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they missed Father. They missed the fact that he came to represent Father. He wept over Lazarus because they missed the fact that greater is the one who gives life than the one who takes it. And so when we sow in tears, It's because we sow from a perspective that we see the Father's heart. That was part of what an intercessor does. That's part of where Patricia intercedes from. When you see what he sees, you weep because you also see what he desires to have had happened. He desired that Jerusalem would be blessed and would be prosperous and would be at peace. But that's not where they were when Jesus came. And the Prince of Peace wept. And so we weep not because we're moved in the flesh. We weep because we are moved by the Spirit of God to see things from his perspective. And that's what this decade is all about, to look again, not to see it from my perspective, oh, my crop is failing, but to see it from his perspective, oh, what I sowed was not righteousness, peace, and joy, and therefore I can't reap by the Holy Spirit. It's a key message for this hour, sowing and reaping. You know what the definition of insanity is. If I always do what I always did and expect something different, lock me up. We have to be sowing differently as we move into this new season. We can't continue to sow half-heartedly and fleshly. We have to sow the way Father wants us to sow, in the field that he calls us to sow in. Some of you are going to be making decisions in the next 6 months. Decisions in which field he's called you to be in for the next 3, 5, and 15 years. I'm saying that prophetically. And when you move to that field, you can't sow the same way that you sowed yesterday. You have to allow Holy Spirit to show you how to sow in that new field so that you can reap what he desires. Now, the law of postponement, the principle of postponement, that prophesies also. Some of you have been sowing righteously before the Lord, and it appears as though nothing has happened. The Lord says, watch for the next 6 months to 24 months because I'm about to return from unexpected places in an unexpected way and unexpected magnitudes. Those things that you sowed rightly for me, for I have been maintaining the seed that you sowed so that I can multiply it for my glory. In other words, get ready for the delay that you think you've been in is about to end. Father, we thank you that you are preparing us to be vessels who will sow and reap according to your heart and not ours. That we will sow according to your time and we will reap abundantly in the fullness of your time. Lord, we thank you that you have called us into such a time as this. In an hour when many are saying things are falling apart, we thank you, Lord, that it is you that is shaking them apart so that you can shake them together correctly. And we ask you, Lord, that as you had our hearts and captured them tonight in worship, Lord, that you would put our heart in the right place to be used by you to reap so that the harvest that you desire to come unto you in the season ahead will be full with the nations of the earth. In Jesus' name. Remember, next Saturday, service starts at 5. Please stay in fellowship and have a good time. I love you all. Have a blessed week.